الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed this world is that there is a process for rainfall. The process is very simple. That first the wind starts to blow, then clouds that appear on the sky, and finally it rains. In a similar way, the order and the sequence we also see in these 3 months of Rajab, Shaban, and Ramadan. Rajab is the month when the winds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat begins to flow. Shaban is the month when the clouds of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, they cover the sky. And in Ramadan al-Mubarak, Allah Ta'ala sends rains of His mercy, showers His mercy upon the believers. In a similar way, if you want to get fruits, we don't get these fruits immediately from the soil. There's a process for that. First, we have to put seed under the ground. Then, after some time, we water the plant and the seedling comes out. And then when that plant grows into a tree, it gives us fruits. So in a similar way, the month of Rajab is the month to put the seed under the ground. In Shaban, we see the plant emerging. And in Ramadan, one can get the fruits of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat. Imam Rabbani, Hazrat Mujaddid al-Faisani, Sheikh Ahmed Sirindi rahmatullah alayhi, in his Maktubat Sharif, he writes that in the month of Shaban, the barakat of Ramadan, they begin. And he gives the example of sunrise, that before the sun rises, before the sun comes out, the sky is filled with the light of the sun. And when the time for Fajr begins, that's the time when sun rays begins to spread the sky, even though the sun is not out. And gradually these sun rays, they trickle through, and the whole sky becomes so illuminated that about 5-10 minutes before actual sunrise, the entire sky is flooded with light. To the extent that if a person doesn't know the time for Fajr, they might think that it's already sunrise. So in a similar way, he explains that before the start of the month of Ramadan, the barakat and the anwarat of the month of Ramadan, they already begin. to flood the sky. And as we approach Ramadan, the closer we come to Ramadan, about 4 or 5 days before Ramadan, there is so much barakat already, as if these are barakat of Ramadan. In fact, before Ramadan, from the month of Rajab, the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins. And that's why when the Prophet used to see the moon of Rajab, he would begin making dua, Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. That O Allah, grant us barakah in our Rajab and Sha'ban and enable us to lead to enter Ramadan with afia, with safety and security. Our mashayikh, they say that the month of Sha'ban has a tremendous munasibat compatibility with the month of Ramadan. Both months have a tremendous compatibility. So in one hadith, the Prophet said that Sha'ban al-Mutahhir. Sha'ban is the month which purifies a person of sins. And the meaning is that Sha'ban is a month where people are preparing for Ramadan and they can purify themselves of sins. And then when Ramadan comes, a person can present his heart to Allah and Allah can fill the heart with his rahmat, with his anwarat. So for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ is saying that Sha'ban is a month which purifies a person's sins. We are in that month of Sha'ban. It's a month which can purify our sins. And our mashayikh, they explain it using another example. They say that Sha'ban is like making wudu, and Ramadan is like praying salah. Sha'ban is like praying, making wudu, and Ramadan is like praying salah. Just like if you want to put some seed in the ground in a field, so before that we have to clear that ground, we make the soil compatible, we make it pure, then we put the seed under the ground, under the soil. In the same way, this month of Sha'ban is a month that we purify the soil of our heart, remove the impurity, the dust, the dirt, the filth, the sins. And then the month of Ramadan comes and we can put the seeds of Allah Ta'ala's rahmah in our hearts. They begin to germinate, they begin to reap fruits. So we are already past the 15th of Sha'ban, few less than 15 days to go now, 13, 14 days, 13 days left. And it's very important that we start to think like the Prophet ﷺ. Before the coming of Ramadan, the Sunnah mizaj, the Sunnah temperament is that we begin to think more and more about Ramadan now. We see in our culture that before Ramadan, people celebrate, begin their celebrations. They are waiting to welcome Ramadan and they're counting every day, one day, second day, countdown begins. And people are just waiting. They can't wait for the month of Ramadan to start. This is something which is good and encouraged in our deen. And this was the ma'mool, the habit of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Amma Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she says that the Prophet ﷺ would do a lot of ihtimam. He would take extra care in counting the days of Sha'ban. And the type of care that the Prophet ﷺ would take in counting the days of Sha'ban, I never saw that same type of care for any other month of the year. Any counting, the countdown begins that today is first Sha'ban, so 29 days to Ramadan. Today is now, let's say, 14th, 16th Sha'ban, so 14 days to go. And today is 17th Sha'ban, 13 days to go. 13 days to Ramadan. And properly, the Prophet ﷺ would count every single day that when will this month of Ramadan start. And in the kitab, in the books, it's mentioned that the Salaf Salihin, they would wait 6 months before the month of Ramadan. And they would start making dua 6 months in advance. That Allah enable us to reach this month of Ramadan with safety and security. And when they would pass the month of Ramadan, then they would make 6 months, they would be making dua to Allah Ta'ala, that Allah accept the ibadah that you gave us the tawfiq to do in this month of Ramadan. And their entire year used to go and they would be thinking about Ramadan. Their entire year was sandwiched on Ramadan, was focused on Ramadan. And this is the reality that attaining Ramadan is a very big sa'adat and a blessing from Allah. That is why among the Salaf Saliheen or Akabireen, if they wanted to determine the fazilat, the honor of an individual, so they would use Ramadan al-Mubarak as the yardstick. That who has spent more Ramadan. And that would be the decision. And if you wanted to decide whether Zaid is more afzal or Umar is more afzal, this person is more afzal, that person is more afzal. So for that, they would start counting how many Ramadan did Zaid spend in his life and how many Ramadan did Umar spend in his life. So Umar might be younger in age, but if he has spent more Ramadan than Zaid, so Umar would be given a greater honor than Zaid, even though Zaid might be elder. Any their fazila, their honor was based on how many Ramadan a person has spent. And this is something which we can say based on experience, that those people who begin to prepare for Ramadan, and even before the start of Ramadan, they feel happy in their heart. They begin to welcome Ramadan. They're feeling happy and excited. In their hearts, they're feeling excited. Then when this month of Rahmat, when this month of mercy comes, then the extent to which they were excited and happy about the coming of this month, to that same extent, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them the tawfiq to partake from the barakat and rahmat of this month. So it depends on our excitement, it depends on our anticipation, it depends on how prepared we are for this month of Ramadan, how happy we are, how much we are waiting in anticipation for this month. If a person has these feelings, then Allah will give tawfiq for that person to benefit more from this month. The ulama, they write that because the Prophet ﷺ said about Ramadan, that this month of Ramadan is Shahrullah, it's the month of Allah. So just like Baytullah is among the Sha'airullah, it's one of the signs, the manifestations, the Sha'air, it's a masjid, among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. Kitabullah is also among the Sha'airullah, one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the same way, Ramadan al-Mubarak is also, by being Shahrullah, the month of Allah, Ramadan is also among the Sha'airullah. It's one of the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Quran, Allah ta'ala mentions something about these sha'air. What are sha'air? These are big things in our deen, which are the alamat of the deen of Allah. They're signs of the deen of Allah. They're known as sha'airullah. And one of them is Ramadan al-Mubarak. It's a sha'airullah. And in Quran, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَمَنْ يُعَزِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ, that whoever honors, respects, does ta'zeem of the sha'air of Allah, the sha'air Allah, فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ, then this thing is from the taqwa of a person's heart. Yani this ayat-ı kerima is testifying that sha'irullah and respecting the sha'irullah is matlub in our deen. It's recommended in our deen. It's something which is required from us in our deen. So before the coming of Ramadan, we need to mentally prepare ourselves and in our hearts spiritually prepare ourselves and be happy, be excited that this month of mercy of Allah Ta'ala is coming. And if we have this mental preparation and in our heart, if we are happy, this will prove extremely beneficial for us to partake from the barakat of Ramadan. In Ghazwat Tabuk, the munafiqi and the hypocrites, they do not participate. And when the Prophet ﷺ came back from Ghazwat Tabuk, the Prophet ﷺ was upset with the munafiqeen. And these munafiqeen, they would come one by one. They would take their qasam that we wanted to come for this battle, but this masla came up, this issue came up, that issue came up, and because of our issues, we weren't able to come. When they were coming with these excuses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayat about them in the Quran that if وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجَ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً. That if they had an irada, an intention for coming, and participating in the battle, then they would have certainly made some preparation for it. وَلَكِنْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاسَهُمْ. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not like them to participate in this battle. Did not like them that they would be participating, they would be coming out. That's why Allah did not give them the tawfiq to prepare for this. And from this ayat-e kareema, we understand that that person who gets tawfiq to prepare, this is a sign, this is evidence, this is proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to give something to that person. And that person who doesn't get the tawfiq to prepare, so it seems from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have an irada, an intention to give to that person. And this is the reason why we should try that before the coming of Ramadan, we begin our preparation mentally, spiritually, practically, materially. We try to prepare ourselves from this month, for this month. And if we can make our preparations, then this would be a dalil. We can do reverse engineering. If we can do preparation, then this would be a dalil, a sign that yes, inshallah, Allah will intend to give something to us in the month of Ramadan as well. Tawfiq for preparation is a sign that Allah wants to give something to us in Ramadan. So, in terms of our preparation, one aspect is material, that before Ramadan we buy whatever necessary household stuff for Ramadan, sehri, for iftari. Beforehand, we prepare all those things. We fill our kitchen, those things which will prove beneficial for our ibadah, topi, tasbih, miswak, musalla, Quran. These are material things that we need, and we should organize them to place them with us, make them ready. Because this has a tremendous psychological effect on a person. Yani, a person who before Ramadan, they begin to buy these things. So, mentally, and psychologically, they're preparing for Ramadan. And they're making themselves compatible with the Ramadan. They're making themselves familiar with the coming of Ramadan. Ideal is that a person should have these things all, throughout the year with them. But if not, we only have these things throughout the year, then at least, at the very least, before Ramadan, we should try to do ihtimam and get these things close by. So to have those things which will prove beneficial for us, and support us in our ibadat, support us in doing good deeds. If we need to clean our house, clean our home, clean the place where we do, where we pray salah, we should try to clean everything. Set the stage for the coming of Ramadan. This is very important. And in this way, we will be able to truly benefit from Ramadan when the month starts. And on the other hand, where a household where there is no preparation and people think this is just one ordinary month of the year, then they will not be able to benefit from this month. They will not be able to benefit from the barakat. The month will pass by and we will be deprived of the barakat of Ramadan. So very important that we start our preparation at this first level. In fact, this is so beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an independent hukum, a command to Jannat, that Jannat should be prepared, Jannat should be adorned for this month. So it comes in Kutub, in books of Ahadith, that before the coming of Ramadan, the entire year Jannat is being beautified and adorned for the coming of Ramadan. What I'm suggesting is not that we become extravagant, we do israf. What I'm saying is that we should make arrangement for those things which are going to be mu'avin, which are going to be helpful and beneficial for our ibadah and doing nek amal. Then the second aspect of our preparation is spiritual preparation. And that is also important. That ruhani, spiritually, we prepare ourselves for this month. And the tariqah, the method for preparing ourselves spiritually for this month is very simple. That we remove the rust and crust and filth of sin from our heart. We purify our hearts. We take a ghusl-e-toba. Like when a person has to go to a wedding or a gathering, you take a bath and you become physically clean. In the same way, this function of Ramadan is coming. For this, we need to purify our hearts spiritually. And the way to purify our hearts, we do ghusl-e-toba. Now, how can a person purify their hearts? There are three ways to do it. Number one is that we make toba of our sins. Toba for all the sins that we have done, for all the sins that we did during the day, during the night, that we remember, that we have forgotten, that we did to other people, that we did to ourselves, that we did in public, that we did in private. Every guna, every sin we present to Allah, and then we ask Allah, Allah, we are making toba, true and sincere toba, we repent, and we intend to lead a life of taqwa in the future. We don't want to go back into that life of sin. Allah, you help us in this. You make this tawbah kamil and mukammal. Allah, we are making an intention and presenting this intention of kamil, true tawbah to you tonight. That's the first way to make our hearts pure. Second way to make our hearts pure is to do istighfar, kasrat istighfar. We have time, alhamdulillah, 13, 14 days driving or walking or doing our household chores. Every person, any person, they can have a counter on their finger and they can count. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay. Astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilay. Kasrat istighfar. Istighfar is also a polish which can wipe away the impurities from our heart. And number three is kasrat of zikrullah, to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly in our hearts. In a hadith, the Prophet said that for every single thing there is a polish, the polish of the heart is zikrullah. It's the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with these three things, we have to polish and purify our hearts. And we should always remember, just like a shopkeeper, when you ask him for milk, if you present him a container which is dirty, which is filthy, he will never pour milk in that container. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not pour His rahmah in an impure heart. If we wish, if we desire that Allah ta'ala fills our heart, pours His rahmat in our heart, then we have to make an effort to purify the bartan of our hearts. We have to make this effort of removing the filth and sins from our heart, the impurities from our heart. And for this, we need to make tawbah. We need to do kasrat istighfar. And we need to do kasrat zikr of Allah ta'ala. Because of the barakat of these amal, then Allah ta'ala inshallah will finish all the impurities from our heart. Our dil, our heart will become pure and clean. The heart will begin to shine through. The heart will become a receptacle and will be able to receive the anwarat, barakat, and rahmat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So tawbah also means, one aspect of tawbah is hukukul ibad, that if we have upset some other person, if we have rights that we have to give to other people, this is the time to patch up. That we admit our mistake, we seek forgiveness from them, we backbited someone, we slandered someone, we hurt someone's feeling, or we owe some person money. Before the coming of Ramadan, we should sort out all these loose ends. Fulfill our hukukul ibad so that our tawbah becomes kamil and we become capable of receiving these anwarat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what happens is that if we are not careful in fulfilling, in completing these loose ends, these hukukul ibad, if other people are upset, if other people have rights over us, then this will become an obstacle, an interruption. We won't be able to fully benefit from the rahmat of Allah. We will be stuck. We will be chained in these hukuk, these rights of people. And hence we will become far away, distant from Allah's rahmat. Many times it happens that there are inheritance issues. Someone just takes all the money. They refuse to give money to the rightful heirs. There's some struggles, some issues within family, between siblings, between parents, between other relatives. So whatever the case is, in any household, every household, whatever the case is, we should try to make tawbah and sort out these issues before the coming of Ramadan. Give other people their haq, their due, so that we can receive the barakat and rahmat of Allah in the month of Ramadan. Ramadanul Mubarak is a month of transformation. It's a month which brings a revolution in a person's heart. It's a month which changes the direction of a person's life. So before Ramadan, we should make this commitment, this azam bil jazam, that I need to change my life. It's not just about changing our daily habits for 30 days, that I'll eat less food, I won't drink, I won't eat. It's not about leaving food. It's not about changing a few habits for 1 month. It's about changing the direction of our life. That is what the month of Ramadan is all about. To bring this revolution in our life. And through tawbah, through istighfar, through kasrat-e-zikr, we can get this forgiveness from Allah. We can make ourselves deserving of Allah's rahmat. And the third element in terms of preparing for Ramadan is that right now we have to begin making ourselves comfortable with doing more pious deeds, more nek amal, amal us-salih, to increase our level. We have to increase that level right now. Gradually, we need to increase our level of amal us-salih. We have to make ourselves comfortable with that idea by practically increasing that level. Why? Because this is insan, human psychology, that a human being cannot take a burden instantaneously in one go. A human being needs to be disciplined gradually, bit by bit. If you want to put some burden on his back, it needs to be done gradually. And then it is able to develop that ability that can carry a weight. The sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam the mustaqil sunnat of the Prophet used to be that at night when Nabi used to pray tahajjud, so in tahajjud the Prophet would pray long rakat. They used to be so long that the blessed feet of the Prophet would swell. But before praying those long rakat of tahajjud, the sunnat of Nabi was that he would start tahajjud by praying two quick light rakat. Why? So that the tabiat, the temperament becomes compatible, becomes comfortable, becomes manus, right? And then praying those longer salah becomes easy. So for this reason, we should also try that right now, in these days of Shaban, we increase our amalus salih. We make our nafs compatible with the idea that I have to read more Quran, I have to pray more salah, I have to make more dua, I have to do more zikr. We make our nafs, we discipline our nafs, we start that taming of the nafs right now. That is why in Sahih Bukhari Sharif, Amma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she narrates that the Prophet would fast and he would continue to fast until we would think that he would not do iftar. And he would fast every single day. And then the Prophet would do iftar and we would think that the Prophet would not fast. And I saw that the Prophet he wouldn't fast a complete month, any month other than Ramadan, except for this month of Shaban. After Ramadan, the one month where the Prophet would fast excessively used to be the month of Shaban. And then she mentions the illat. So she says, the Prophet would fast in this month of Shaban excessively. Why? Istidadan li Ramadan. These roza, these fasting of Ramadan was done in order to increase the capacity for Ramadan, in order to prepare for the coming of the month of Ramadan. So that is why if we fast in these days of Shaban, our nafs will become disciplined. Our nafs will become used to the fast, will become physically used to the fast, will become spiritually used to fasting, will become mentally used to fasting if we begin the fasting right now. And this will make it easy for us to fast in the month of Ramadan, to go deeper in the month of Ramadan. Normally what happens is that we start a Ramadan and then by the time we begin to feel anything in our fast, it's almost over. So we get something, but we're not able to go deep. We get the effect of Ramadan, but we're not able to get the after effect of Ramadan. If we begin early, then by the time Ramadan starts, we're already at that stage where we can go deeper from day one. And then in that way, the deeper you go in a Ramadan, it's like a deep sea diving. The deeper you go in a Ramadan, the after effect of Ramadan will be much more intense, more lasting. The barakat of Ramadan will stay for the coming 11 months of the year, inshallah. But we have to go deeper in Ramadan. And for that, we need to make ourselves manus, habitualize ourselves right now in these days of Shaban. Gradually, we begin to increase our amalus salih. We begin to place this burden of good deeds on our nafs. Tame our nafs. Tell our nafs that this is ibadah that you have to do. So that the nafs is now being disciplined for the coming of Ramadan. The nafs is being told that you'll have to do these things in Ramadan. Begin right now. This nafs is like a creature. Our mashayikh, they say that you have to seduce this nafs in order to get work done through this nafs. Otherwise, this nafs is rebellious, doesn't want to do any work, doesn't want to do any pious deeds. You have to entice this nafs. So someone asked that, Hazrat, how can we entice our nafs? So he said that one day I was coming back from a journey. I came back home, I was very tired. So I thought that tonight I will just complete my sleep. I won't be able to pray tahajjud. So I made this intention, then I went to sleep. But because I always had a habit of waking up at the time of tahajjud, so at the time of tahajjud, my eyes opened. I woke up. I had intended that I won't pray tahajjud. This was my initial intention. But then a thought came to my heart that this is the time for the qubuliyat of dua. At this time, the ashikin of Allah, the pious, the beloved friends of Allah, they are making dua. So why shouldn't I also capitalize on this opportunity and make some dua? So I thought about this, and then while lying down on the bed, I started making dua to Allah by raising my hands. Then another thought came, said, this is a bit khilafi adab, khilafi etiquette, that I'm lying down and I'm making dua in this manner. I should sit down and make dua a bit properly. I'm asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's Al-Azim, Al-Kareem, so I should do it. And then another thought came that how can I make dua be wuzu? I should at least go and perform wudu, and then I can come back and then I can make dua. So there was I made wudu, I came back. Now when I came back, the musalla was just next to my bedding. So I thought that if I just pray two rakat, what's the big deal? So I ended up praying two rakat, then I prayed four rakat, then I prayed six rakat, then I prayed eight rakat. I ended up praying 12 rakat in that night. That night, but initially I'd intended not to pray at all. And then after that, I make dua to Allah Ta'ala. So we have time right now. There are about 13, 14 days left in Shaban. If someone hasn't fasted yet, you can still fast. But then yes, for the last 3-4 days, one should not fast so that we can conserve our energy and fast fully and be fresh for the month of Ramadan. But we have time right now. And in the same way, like fasting, we should also increase our other ibadat. We should begin tilawat right now, tilawat Quran. Don't wait for Ramadan to begin tilawat. Increase your tilawat right now. For those who have a habit of reading half juz, make a habit of reading one juz every day. For those who have a habit of reading one juz, make a habit of reading 1.5 juz every day. Increase the tilawat Quran right now. For those who have been irregular in praying salah in the masjid, we should make a habit, develop that habit right now, that I'm going to pray salah in masjid with jamaat. At least I'm going to pray fajr and isha with the jamaat. In Hadith Mubarak, it comes that person who prays fajr and isha in jamaat, then he will get the sawab for the entire night. In the same way, we can make niyat that I'm going to pray ishraq and awwabin. So we gradually increase our salah, our ibadat, our amalus salih. All of us, every single one of us, we should have this firm pledge that this time when the month of Ramadan comes, so I will do such an ibadah, I will do such good deeds that I've never done these good deeds before. I'm going to excel. I'm going to go max out, maximize my good deeds. Many of us have that irada, but we spend 30 days of Shaban in ghaflat. 30 days of Shaban we spend absent-minded, heedless. 30 days of Shaban they pass by and we don't get tawfiq to open the Quran. A whole year passes by, we don't get the tawfiq to open the Quran. And then we have this irada, this intention that as soon as first Ramadan will come, so I will be able to read 10 para every day. It doesn't happen like that. It's not possible that we spend 30 days of Shaban without opening Quran, and then first Ramadan will come and automatically we will be able to excel and increase in our ibadat. One juz will become a burden, will become heavy, will become difficult. The blackness will come before our eyes. Our tabiat will not be manus. Our tabiat will not feel fresh in reading more.
Right now, we need to work on ourselves. Right now, we need to train our nafs. We need to train our nafs, put this burden on our nafs, tame our nafs, make our nafs ready to do more and more amal us-salih. It's difficult to take a U-turn immediately. Nafs doesn't like to take U-turns. Nafs is like an animal, like a horse. You cannot control it. You need to prepare it. You need to tame it. You need to keep on putting some load on the back so that you can then finally turn the way you want the horse to turn. In a similar way, a donkey, when people want to put some, attach a donkey cart and they want that donkey to take the donkey cart and go in the market, the way they do it gradually. First, what they do is, that they put the donkey next to another donkey who's pulling a cart. So this donkey is not pulling the cart yet. The other donkey is pulling the cart, but this donkey is just placed next to the donkey and the donkey cart so that he becomes comfortable with that environment. Then they attach an empty cart at the back of that donkey and they make the donkey run. Then they put slightly a bit more things in that cart. In this way, gradually they increase the load. And this is the way we have to use for our nafs as well. And the fourth element of preparing for Ramadan is that we have to begin leaving sins. This is one of the most important elements of our preparation. Ramadan is not about leaving food and drink only. The real message of Ramadan is taqwa, which is to leave sin. And that message is not just the message of Ramadan, that's the message for the entire year. We have to make this effort right now in leaving sins. Leaving sins. Right now we should have this irada, this determination to leave our sins and to make that effort. Again, what happens here is that we intend that no, when Ramadan will start, then I will leave sin. Then I will control, I will guard my gaze. Then I will guard my tongue. Then I will guard my thoughts. And then the month of Ramadan starts and we are unable to guard our gaze. We prove unable to guard our tongue. Just like before Ramadan, our eyes were chasing everything. In the same way, after Ramadan or during Ramadan, our eyes will be chasing everything on the screen or in person, live. One is not able to get that control over the gaze in Ramadan. One is not able to lower their gaze in Ramadan. One is not able to turn away from those scenes in Ramadan as well. So we need to work right now before Ramadan to leave these sins. And one more aspect regarding our preparation, which I think I should mention because this is important, is that there are some actions, some a'mal that we do which can become an obstacle, which can prevent us from receiving those rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They become a rukavat, an obstacle in the rahmat of Allah. Yani the rahmat, the doors of Allah's rahmat becomes closed for that person who's engaged in some specific sins. That's the reason why many times a person says this as well. That what happened to me, the whole month of Ramadan passed by and I wasn't able to feel any difference in myself. That same dead heart which I had in Shaban, Ramadan passed by and still I don't feel any difference. I feel my heart is still dead. I feel my heart is still sleeping. I feel that there is no muhabbat of Allah in my heart. I feel there is no fear of Allah in my heart. What is the reason for all of these things? The reason is that there are some amal, some sins that we do because of which we deprive ourselves of the rahmat of Allah. And when the rahmat of Allah stops, when the rahmat does not penetrate into our heart, then there is nothing that happens in our heart. The heart is not able to change. One of those sins is called qata rahmi. Qata rahmi is to sever ties with our relatives, with our close relatives, like uncle, aunt, our blood relatives. Sever ties. Person says that I won't speak to them. I will sever my ties of kinship with them. Months pass by, years pass by, and we don't speak with our relatives. This is a major sin. And a person who does this, they make themselves bereft and deprived of the rahmat of Allah even in this month. Hazrat Abdullah bin Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala narrates that this was the time of Hujjatul Wida. The Prophet ﷺ was with the Sahaba Ikram in the plains of Arafah. And the Prophet ﷺ said to us that beware, if there is anyone in this gathering who does qata'i rahmi, then that person should leave this gathering. So one young man, he stood up and he left. And after some time, he came back. The Prophet ﷺ asked him that, what happened? Why did you leave and why did you come back? And he replied that, Ya Rasulullah, when you said that a person who does qata'i rahmi should leave, so because I had severed my ties with my khala, with my aunt, I wasn't on speaking terms with her. So I thought that I should go to her and I should join these ties. I went to her, I said salam to her. She asked me, well, how did you come? I said, the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned this and I have come to ask forgiveness from you. Please forgive me. She forgave me. Now I've come back, I've done sulah, I've reconciled, and now I've come back and returned to this gathering. The Prophet ﷺ, when he heard this, he said that shabash, what you did was very good, because that gathering in which there is even one such person who does qata rahmi, because of that one person, the entire gathering is deprived of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Now this is something which we should think about, that how deprived is that person who does qata rahmi, that a person who is in the company of the Prophet ﷺ, and this is the fields of Arafah, Hajjatul Wida, the day of Jum'ah, and still that person is deprived of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that person is deprived, but because of that person, other Sahaba Ikram, the entire gathering is deprived of the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we should think about our own homes. Our homes, if how many people are there who do or are engaged in this sin? If there is one such person, then what will happen? And if there are more than one, then what will happen to such a house? How much barakati would there be in such a house? So this is the obstacle in the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. All of us can imagine. The Prophet ﷺ said that that gathering in which there is one who severs ties, then the rahmat, the angels of rahmat, they don't descend. So we should try in these days of Rosh Shaban that we remove this obstacle. If there is some ikhtalafat, some disputes that we have with any of our close relatives, this is a time before Ramadan we reconcile. We do sulah. Wa sulhun khair, Allah says in Quran. There is khair in sulah, reconcile. But here again, nafs and shaitan will put this waswasa that how can you reconcile with that person? It's not your fault, it's their fault. If you reconcile, then you will be blamed and people, your izzat will go down, you will lose your dignity and honor. This is all coming from nafs. And we should always remind ourselves that yes, if I want to attain the rahmat of Allah, then I need to subdue my nafs. I need to suppress my nafs. I need to do this in order to make myself deserving of the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. And always remember that izzat, honor, dignity is not what people tell. Is not what people tell that this is izzat. or in dunya lies izzat. Izzat is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to a person. And through sila rahmi, through joining ties of kinship, by joining these ties of ties with your relatives, a person can never be zaleel. A person will never be embarrassed. One will never be humiliated by Allah. Allah will never disgrace such a person. In fact, Allah will always give izzat and honor to that person. When the first revelation came to the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ was very concerned that how would I be able to carry this duty of nabuwat. Nabi ﷺ came back home and said to Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي, that I fear about myself. I don't know how will I be able to carry this duty, this responsibility. And Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, at that time she consoled the Prophet ﷺ. If one has a wife, may Allah give us a wife like Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She is consoling the Nabi of that time. The Nabi, Sayyidina Rasulullah ﷺ, and consoling with such strong words, not light, weak words. Every word that she's uttering is full of yaqeen, is full of certainty. This is mentioned in hadith, sahih hadith. She said to the Prophet ﷺ, Kalla, there no way. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, La yughzikallahu abada, that Allah will never abandon you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never leave you. Allah will never embarrass you, will never disgrace you, will never humiliate you. And then after that, she mentioned Amma Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. She mentioned the reason why. The reason is innaka la tasilu rahim, because you do sila rahmi. You join ties of kinship. You bring people together. So we understand that person who does sila rahmi, who joins ties of kinship, that person will never be disgraced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, this amal will be a source of getting izzat, honor, dignity from Allah ta'ala. So in our gathering, all of us, we should think, we should reflect on our situation. If we have such issues and such relationships in our life, this is the time to do sila rahmi for the sake of Allah. Say salam, say dua, ask for forgiveness. It's possible there may be in our gathering, there might be some relationships like that, where some masalas and issues are there. So why don't we make this niyat, this irada, this pledge, that this door of Allah's rahmah, which we have closed on ourselves, why don't we open this door before the coming of Ramadan? Why don't we open this door before the coming of Ramadan? In a hadith, Sahih Muslim, the Prophet ﷺ said that when the month of Ramadan starts, the doors of Jannat, the eight doors of Jannat are thrown wide open. And the seven doors of Jahannam, they're shut, closed. So in this month, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is closing all the doors of Jahannam and opening all the doors of Jannat and chaining the shayateen, and despite all of this, if we are not able to defeat our nafs, this ana, this me, this ego, then this can prove an obstacle in getting this rahmat of Allah. So we need to finish this. We need to mend our ties. We need to do sila rahmi so that we can open that lock, open that chain, and we can then benefit from Allah's rahmah. And this to reconcile is very easy. We just need to go to them, ask them about their, inquire about their well-being. Just in clear words, we can just say that I just want to ask you how you're doing. I just wanted to ask forgiveness from you. And if you cannot use clear words, then just go and say salam. Just ask about, inquire about their well-being. If you can't go to them physically, just pick up the phone and call them. Just ask about their inquiry. Just ask about their well-being on the phone. Okay, I just wanted that Ramadan is coming, and I thought that before Ramadan, I just wanted to say salam to you. And I just wanted to reduce this burden, and I just wanted to inquire about your health, about your well-being. If you have any rights over me, I ask you that please forgive me for my shortcomings, for my faults. That's it. Say those three, four sentences and you have done what you're supposed to do. Now the doors of Allah's rahmat will be wide open for you. Now the ball will be in the other person's court, whether he or she wishes to accept that apology or not. You have done your task. Now the doors of rahmat are open. And similarly, we should try to save ourselves from other sins, like especially the sins on the screen. It's not just enough that we will leave music in Ramadan, we'll leave those dramas in Ramadan, we'll leave our addiction with the TV, with the internet in Ramadan. We need to start right now so that we can become the, we can receive the rahmat of Allah. And we should always remember that our akabareen, the ulama, they say that Ramadan is a month that a person with whatever kafiyat, with whatever condition we will spend this month of Ramadan, then we will spend the entire year in that same kafiyat, in that same condition. Ramadan is like the qalb, it controls the entire year. If we can spend this month of Ramadan properly with the proper feelings in our heart by staying away from sins, then Allah will give us tawfiq to stay away from sins in the 11, in the remaining 11 months of the year as well. Ramadan will control our 11 months. And if khuda na khasta we spend this month of Ramadan in sin, not able to leave the sins of our ears, the sins of our tongue, the sins of our eyes, we spend this month as well in ghafla, then the entire year will be spent in sin and ghafla. So very important that we make this preparation on leaving sin, leaving ghafla right now. We must have seen that the businessmen, they have their business season. The politicians, they have their election season. And when their season comes, then they care only about the task at hand. The politicians will only care about their politics. The business, the traders will only think about their business and trade. And before their season comes, they make their preparation. So in a similar way, Ramadan is also the season for doing good deeds. It's the season for a believer. And we should then also try to now free up our activities as much as possible so that we can devote ourselves to ibadah in Ramadan and do as many nek amal, as many good deeds as we can. This is our season, the season of a believer, a season to excel. So we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give all of us tawfiq that we can do qadr of this opportunity and we can spend our days, our nights in ibadah. We can do kasrat of zikr, kasrat of toba, kasrat of istighfar, kasrat of tilawa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us a ta'alluq with the Quran in these days of Shaban, and then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us the ability, the tawfiq to excel in our ibadah during this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in the remaining days of Shaban for us. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Shaban wa balighna Ramadan. And may Allah ta'ala enable all of us the tawfiq, grant all of us the tawfiq to enter into this month of Ramadan with afiyah and to do ibadah in this month of Ramadan with afiyah. Wa akhiru da'wana anilhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Before we make dua, we
We'll make a short silent zikr of the heart for a few moments. Close your eyes and bow your head. Disconnect yourself from everything else in this world and make intention that, Ya Allah, you have said in the Quran, Fazkuruni azkurkum, that if you remember me, I will remember you. Ya Allah, we are remembering you deep inside of our hearts. And we ask you that you remember us by showering your rahmah, your mercy upon our hearts, by cleaning our hearts of its sins, of its filth, by washing our hearts of impurities. And Ya Allah, our heart in gratitude and shukr is calling upon you, is calling upon your Ism-e Azam, Ism-e Jalala, Allah, as if our hearts were saying, Allah, 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 and we're silently, secretly listening to the zikr of our hearts. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Make dua. Subhana rabbil al-wahhab. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Rabbana zalamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khayrur rahimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu minal zalimin. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inna kunna minal zalimin. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma barik lana fi Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون، ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعبادك الصالحون. وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وفيما بعد الموت. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. وصلى الله تعالى على حبيبه خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.